I'm tough on him as a father, because I know how cruel the world is, right?
Dude, it's tough.
You know, yeah, you tough. Gotta, you got, you eat what you kill, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. So you gotta go out every day and earn it. There is no one is, unfortunately, as much as we want to act like this isn't how the world works and reality is, but no one cares. No one's going to hand you anything. You're right. Right.
Yeah. You know, well, yeah, there's no superhero coming to save you.
No, man,
you are the superhero. No,
exactly. You are. It's not a comic book.
Yeah, it's not a comic book. Yeah.
Go out and it's not hard. It's, you know, we make it hard, right? It's simple.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Awesome.
Sweet. All right. We are recording, so we got that. We got the camera going. Let's take a sip, and then we'll...
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, man, I will forewarn you.
Yeah.
What's cotton up? Mouth.
Oh, yeah.
This
dry,
is jet,
yeah.
Like, bro.
It's that time of year, though, you know?
Dude, night, I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm like, I can't, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm coughing in the mornings. Like, mouth is so dry. Water. I sleep with water next to my bed. I got...
Yep.
Yeah, I got one so of those Owalas. My wife got me into those.
My fiance loves them. I'm a Yeti guy.
Yeah, well, that's me. I mean, I like Yeti too, Yeti. But she got me into it. Yeah, and I was like, all right, I see where the hype is, you know.
Those are big in the theater world. Isn't like a lot of people that are in theater have them. Yeah. So she,
It's a big thing.
It's crazy because like now they've been big in theater for, I guess, well, she told me because I never knew what it was.
Yeah.
Stanley, it's just the fact that now like more people know about it. And it's so weird. I don't really see Stanley anymore.
No. Yeah. Yeti's like always solid. Yeti's always been around. And now it's this... Owala that's
yeah,
like taking over.
I'm a big Yeti fan. Like I used to be like anti Yeti, and then
were you?
Yeah.
Why were you anti Yeti?
Because I was broke. No, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And they're expensive as fuck.
Yeah, and I just mean like I didn't grow up with anything like that, so
right.
It was just like I don't need that. And then I got a Yeti. A buddy gave me one for as a gift.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this thing is
nice
sweet,
fucking gift,
sweet, dude. Yeah. Man, sweet. Yeah. And then I just started, got another one. I got another one, and then now I have a mug. I mean, I drink
you got
coffee
it
out of it.
Yeah,
you know I mean?
Right.
I got her
shot glass. They have shot glass.
Dude,
they
I
do.
Know, and yeah. I got her the wine,
yeah,
like, glasses.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah,
I've got
yeah.
those for her. I got this. I got one for my son that has like I'm not a straw guy.
Yeah,
I don't like
you don't like straw.
No. So I like this where you just twist off the top and throw it back.
Yeah.
But my son loves straw, so I got him the one that folds out. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Yeah dude, I'm.
You're right. The price point is crazy high. But then once you get it, it's like, oh, shoot, this is really good quality.
Bro,
like,
yeah, dude.
The quality's unmatched.
You should see something like, oh, I have the Yeti, like.
Do you got the backpack?
But yeah, the backpack, the square one.
Yes.
For on the beach. And then I have the big cooler and stuff like that. But I beat the shit out of them. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And they hold up. Yeah, you, dude, you could
like that book
throw the kitchen
I've
sink
had
at
for like 5 years now. And I mean.
Holy shit.
I take that. I was taking that thing everywhere. Like basketball tournaments.
Yeah.
My son's sports, the beach, cookouts. You know what I mean? It didn't matter. Yeah.
Coolers, though, real quick, talk about that. They're nice, but they're heavy.
Yes, they are.
Heavy.
Yes.
Like, you almost need 2-3 people to lift it when it's full. Yes,
yeah.
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 It's wild.
That's why I get the ones with the wheels, by the way.
There you go. I get the big wheels, yeah. Gosh, all right. So for the listeners, we're here with Noah Starry. We're gonna jump right into this. If you want in the comments, let us know if you're a Yeti, Stanley, or a Owala guy. Owala. Yeah, I was against it. And then Court's like, no, try it. And I'm like, okay, I see the hype. I see it.
Yeah. I like their... whatever they came up with their straw thing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how to describe it.
Because you can, like, throw it back or sip on it. So I will give them credit on that one.
that's what sold me on it. I'm like, okay, this is weird. I'm digging this. Yeah, you know? It is different. But, let's jump in. So in this episode, for listeners, we have returning guest, one of the OGs, Noah Starry. And I say OG because you were in the top 10. Your episode was 8. You were episode 8, man.
Episode 8.
Yeah.
Dang, bro. And what's this one going to be?
Oh, God, this exact one. I don't know exact number because 157, I want to say. And listeners, if I'm wrong, put it in the comments. Yeah, if I'm wrong, you know, make a comment out there. But, yeah, in the 150s, correct. Yeah.
That's wild.
It was back in August of 2022.
I know. I feel like three years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. It's wild. So I'm glad to have you back. For the listeners, just kind of give some background on who Noah is. If you don't know him, if you're not local, I'll give you some background right now. He is the co-owner.
No, so I am now officially 100% owner Noah.
Okay.
And then co-owner of Star Wars Properties.
Okay.
Right. And also, in the past year, October was my one-year anniversary. I'm a licensed Pennsylvania realtor with the Mike Order team of RE/MAX Cornerstone.
Let's go. What aren't you doing? When it comes to housing and real estate market and entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so...
you do it all, man.
The biggest thing is I've learned the past 2 years that I need to be more focused, because I do have my hands in the cookie jar of so many different ventures and things like that.
Right.
I need them to align more and stay within the real estate realm, because that's what I'm good at. That's what I love. It's what I'm good at. It's what I enjoy. I have 8 years of experience, millions of dollars of pass through the business, you know what I mean? Things of that nature. So yeah, going into 2026, I'm going to focus heavily just real estate.
I love it. You found your lane and you're going to excel at it. You're going to stick to it. And again, a real estate entrepreneur, born and raised right here in Lebanon City. He's made a name for himself by taking worn down houses and turning them into quality modern homes for his local community. Yeah, again, on this episode, Noah Starry, man. Thank you for coming back on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, I know we want to talk about like brand identity.
Yep.
You know, you had some pivots in your life like a lot of us do. I know around COVID, a lot of people had to pivot in their job and their life. And then, of course, being an entrepreneur, you know, it's a lot of hats you wear. And it's a lot of people, I think, are going more towards that entrepreneurial spirit or going towards being an entrepreneur because it's that freedom, I think.
Yeah.
You know? And, I'm just glad to have you back. And let's just jump right into it. Let's start off with... give us a recap. Like, what's been going on in your life since, 2022?
Yeah, so just in a nutshell, really crazy the fact that you brought up 2022 because 2022 was my best year in real estate. We had the portfolio all the way up to – we had 80 units, which we had acquired in less than 3 years. We were doing – I think we did, 30 flips that year.
Wow.
It was a total of, 40 or 45 projects when you break it down, the individual units we did for the rentals and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it was intense.
Dang.
We were over leveraged. I was figuring things out. You know what I mean? We had 10 employees at that point.
Okay.
I personally never managed anybody in my life previous to that. So, you know what I mean? That was a massive learning curve.
Yeah.
What I took away from that then though, going into 2023 is I burned out. So, not too long after that, I ended up burning out and saying, whoa, what am I doing? You know what I mean? I'm waking up at 5 a.m. to go to the office for 3 hours before staff comes in.
Right.
Just to make high-level decisions and things of that nature. So, then during, 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock, I can actually operate the business, you know?
Yeah.
Did not like that. I thought that was cool. And, you know, that's how you build a business and all this other stuff. Yeah, not for me. Mm-hmm. So going into 2023, we ended up, the spring of 2023, we actually ended up letting everybody go. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So that was another experience of like, I've fired people before, but there was a couple that really, it hurt. You know what I mean? Cause right. They were good people, at no fault to them. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was just a pivot for the business. Yeah, right.
100%.
So from that point on then, you know what I mean? For the past 2 years, I've been kind of in limbo. You know what I mean? I had lost my identity, direction, and purpose. You know, Star Wars was, and technically Astronova was like everything I knew. I eat, sleep, breathe, bleed, yeah. Everything that, and then to go and, you know, have that go away was like a huge rug pull. And I will say this year, I've finally found and figured out, you know what I mean? My purpose, my direction. So it was a journey the past, you know, couple years from the time we talked last time.
Yeah. You're not kidding. And what, so, you know, obviously when you own your own business, you have to make those hard decisions, right? And letting people go is not easy. You know, I have not had to do that yet myself. You know, my father here is the owner, but take us through, what is that kind of like? Cause you have these relationships, you know, especially if an employee's been with you 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it may be. What's it like? How do you say, okay, this has to be done for the better of the company, for the better of my own mental health, whatever it is.
Yeah. So it's a really good question, man. So to go walk you through it from my experience, and I recently had to do it, you know what I mean? So like, just to take that on a nutshell, what I've learned, cause I'm a very emotional person. You know what I mean? I
feel like I am too.
I have my emotions on my sleeves. You know what I mean? Right. I wear them. You know, I'm open about what I'm feeling. Right. Mm-hmm. So I always make a personal connection with my employees, colleagues, you know, clients, everything like that.
Yeah.
So what I've learned though, is that you need to set expectations and have boundaries between the personal and the business. And I've struggled with that. You know what I mean? I'm a very caring person and I care heavy, you know, especially if you're in the boat with me, you know what I mean? Like you're in the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So going through that has been, definitely difficult for me personally, just because it again, when you wear that stuff, you know what I mean? It hurts you. It not only hurts you because you got to let someone go that you care about, but also to the fact that like you feel like a failure, right? You know, because clearly something didn't work out, whether it's no fault at them or, you know, the environment, right? The economy, you know, no one controls that at all. You know what I mean? Things of that nature. So, it definitely like hits your ego, you know, and your pride of like, wow, you know what I mean? What I've learned from it though, is that if you can clearly set the expectations, right. And you can remove the emotional side of it, right. Of like, this is what needs to be done for the better of the environment, for the better of the business, for the better of the relationship. Yeah. Right. You know, cause at the end of the day too, I'm a big believer that everything works out the way it's supposed to. Okay. So we may not be a fit anymore. We could have been a fit yesterday. We could have been a fit 2 months ago. We could have been a fit, you know, 2 years ago. But at this very moment, we're not. And we need to part ways, not only for the betterment of our business, but the betterment of you, right? You know what I mean?
Because
everybody grows through,
you know. Goes through changes, right?
Like, employment, changes, ups and downs, things of that nature. So
100%.
Taking all that into consideration and now going through it a few times, like I understand better of setting those clear expectations. And then also to removing the emotional of it and saying, hey, this is unfortunately, right, or fortunately, what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope that we can continue to have a good relationship or even at least a rapport because, you know,
relationship, you don't want to burn bridges, right?
And relationships change.
Yes,
but at the end of the day, I want to have that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then also highlight that, you know, when you part on good terms, you never know what's going to happen in the future. Never know if I, you know, you come work again for me. I never know if, you know, you have your own business and I'm patronizing your business now, you know, or referrals. You never know. I may be referring people to you because, you know, you were great, right?
100%.
Or referring you to for new employment. So I've learned emotion and business, you got to separate it and there has to be a switch.
Yeah.
And I've always struggled with that. And I am being more intentional on that for that reason.
Yeah.
Because it saves me. and it saves them.
No, that's a great point, because I think it's hard to, you know, everyone says like you got to keep your emotions out of business, but when it's something you're so passionate about, something you love, how can you not be emotionally invested? Right, we're all human. Everyone has emotions, you know. And I think, like you're saying, to set those boundaries where it's like, all right, you know, it's business, but yet we can still have that relationship, but we just got to kind of keep it a little separate, you know. And one of the things I like you mentioned, you know, I said you don't want to burn bridges. You had mentioned like, hey, I can, maybe somebody calls me up, hey, how was so and so? You know, you don't want to burn bridges, whether you're the employer or the employee. And then at the end of the day, like you mentioned, patronizing other businesses. Maybe, you know, one of your employees starts their own business. And I know you do a lot of that. You're big Lebanon City, Lebanon community. You're a big, like, Lebanon County guy.
Yeah.
And you love Lebanon County. So you love the city.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. Like, if you have something, right, and you're part of the tribe, the community, you know, regardless if it's Lebanon City, Lebanon County, that's just because where I'm from and
it's your home,
at,
man.
Right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's you, yeah.
I will 100% support you. You know what I mean? As long as we're on, you know, you've never done me wrong, yeah. I will 100% support you. And even if you did do me wrong, I don't hold grudges, man. Like, everybody has demons. Everybody goes through things.
Yeah.
You know, I forget. There's that theory where each person lives in their own world and has their, you know.
Tell me, yeah.
Perception, problems, things of that nature. And, you know, we always think everybody's thinking about us, worrying about us. In all reality, man, everybody's worried about their own little world.
Yeah.
So I get it. You know what I mean? Especially struggling with like depression, anxiety, bipolar, things that I've been through.
Yeah.
I don't hold grudges, you know, but rule of thumb, you haven't, you know, done something wrong to me, I will 100% support you.
Yeah.
You open up a business, I will patronize, I will refer, I will do all that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And everyone deserves a second chance, I think. You know, now obviously some things, you know, to the extremes, but like in life, you know, second chances are there. Take them. And what I've noticed talking about like local businesses and stuff, you do a lot of posting on social media.
Yeah.
And I can't help but like, you're going to like local restaurants, local businesses, and you're like either buying a meal or just giving people a spotlight on your social media, on Instagram mostly.
Yeah.
I love that. Tell me about it. Yeah.
So I gotta definitely, I will put out there that my marketing manager isn't with us anymore. Alexis Kuhner. Lex, she's awesome.
Yeah.
I brought her on 2 years ago, started her out through admin and some social, and then built her up and stuff like that. Strictly budgetary reasons, right? I got to give a lot of credit, almost all the credit to her. You know what I mean? She's the one who really made me shine and things of that nature. Like, I've always done the community outreach and stuff like that,
right,
and the social media thing, but she came in and started really structuring it, organizing it. You know what I mean? And then also, like we talked earlier, you know what I mean? Sammy.
Like, Sammy from Miami.
Yeah,
shout,
man.
Shout out to Sammy.
That's my guy.
He's an OG too on the podcast.
Yeah, dude.
He was
exactly
in that top 10, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, you know, these people really, you know, make me look good. I just go out and just be me. I go to these places and I know I have a good following. I know there's a lot of people that look up to me, follow me, you know what I mean?
Right.
Things of that nature.
Yeah. Have some influence.
Yes. Yeah.
You do.
That's weird that you say it.
I'm just saying,
I never said that. You
know,
no, what I mean?
Out
loud. Like,
yeah. But I take it as that, because like when I see, you know, those videos that you do on Instagram, I'm like, I should check that place out. You know, if it's good enough to know a story, like, let me go check this out.
And that's
out.
Exactly
like,
what I want. Like, I want that. And I guess it is influence. I guess I've always been like anti that word because of, it's more so personally, not because of anything else. It's more so of like imposter syndrome. I don't know if you ever heard that. Right?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Of like,
tell me, but yeah,
well, why is
about that.
Why is anybody going to, you know, listen to what I got to say?
Yeah.
And I've been fighting that and pushing through that and finding out ways. It's actually pretty common. A lot of people go through. And
I struggle with it with the podcast. I brought it up in previous episodes.
Yeah.
It's like, why am I doing this? People who care, do they even listen? Like, and then it's like, well, I'm up to like, 150 some episodes. It's growing. And it's like, you know what? And then who cares at the end of the
results.
Day? Results.
Undeniable results.
Right.
That's what will make you forget about imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah.
That and then happiness. Those two things, as long as you check one box off or the other, like, it doesn't matter. And that's what I found of, like, I do have an influence. I do have a following. And I literally have people that randomly text me and say, hey, man, like, I appreciate you posting that. Like, I've been following you. You know, you've motivated me to do this, this, and this. And you're a good guy, man. And I appreciate that. Like, those texts, I get those randomly, man. It's hard. I'm not good at taking compliments because I don't know how to take them. But it still makes me feel good, and it makes me realize that like what I'm doing has purpose, right? So if I can use that influence to better the world, I'm 100% going to do it. Whether that's going to a restaurant, eating their food, you know what I mean? Shouting them out, or grabbing coffee from a cafe, or patronizing a small business, you know what I mean, for a service or a product.
Right.
I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. And then when they, you know, their business grows and the people that are following me, following them and do those things, it's going to put an even bigger smile on my
face. Everyone benefits. You know what I mean? The community grows. And it's one of those things too, where it's like, you know, you can have such a small tight knit following, and that has, I think, more impact than somebody that has like a huge following. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a lot of times everyone's like caught up in the numbers of like, oh, I got 10,000, 50,000.
If I can change 5,000. One person.
Yeah.
Like if I can change their mindset, or even just one thought of one person, like I'm already winning in life. You know what I mean? Because it turns into just a domino effect. You know, how many people do they touch, you know, and interact with and things of that nature. So I love it. And I try to use my influence for good.
I like it. Let's take a sip break. This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer.
To jump into the identity thing, just to wrap that up.
Yeah, please.
You know, I struggled with it for the past few years. I've always struggled with identity. You know, imposter syndrome, who am I? I'm just a nobody, things of those nature. And, you know, you can't talk about yourself like that. You know what I mean? Because then you manifest that, right? You build
negative thoughts in your head.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, and I fight that all the time, you know, with depression, bipolar and anxiety, and ADHD. Like my thoughts are always all over the place. You know what I mean? Ups and downs, all these other things. So, you know, the past 2 years of then with my career, you know, because before the real estate was electrician. I was electrician. You know, the last time I dealt with a real true identity crisis was back in 2010 in my dorm room with Tito Valdez at LVC. You know what I mean? Yeah. Trying to figure out of like, what the fuck? I don't want to be here at college, but this is what everybody expects.
I see what you're saying. Yes.
So, you know, there's about 10 years, 15 years where I really, truly didn't like have this issue. You know what I mean? So you're going, you know, and now I'm 33. So I've never experienced this at 33. I did at 18.
Yeah.
But no responsibility.
Right.
No care in the world. Nothing. You know what I mean? Like, like
just you. You just have to take care of yourself. You
exactly.
Know what I mean? Yeah.
Now I have my fiance. I have my son. I have my family, like my parents and my grandparents and my brother. Like I have these people that rely on me when, you know, that makes a huge difference then. And it just the weight on it. So the past 2 years, trying to fight through that, figure that out, stumbling across it, you know, because the mistakes, man, they put you back, right? You know, you have to take 5 steps back to take 10 steps forward.
Yeah.
And I finally have found that. And with that, you know, I'm thankful for it. And I realized that real estate was going to be my direction when I bought that first property for a dollar.
Okay.
And every time I get away from real estate, or there's, you know, I call it like the shiny penny syndrome. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're like a squirrel, you know, like, oh, look, you know,
look over there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Something shiny.
You know,
you think it's better than what you have or what you're doing.
Or I don't want to miss out on an opportunity, you know, right? FOMO, you know, that's a real thing.
You're missing out 100%.
So, that I've realized, you know, real estate is where I'm at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's what I'm good at. It's undeniable results. You know what I mean?
Right.
$35, $40 million worth of real estate passing through my
entities. Can't deny that. You can't deny it.
Over around 150 plus, you know, flips, you know, transactions, things of that nature. So, you know, I figured out that my identity is real estate.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a good feeling. Like just saying it out loud feels good.
Yeah. Acknowledging it. Right.
And meaning it, you know,
because
we, you know, we say things, we like, oh, this is what I'm going to do, or this is what I'm, no, this is 100% real estate.
Yeah.
So yeah,
is you,
the identity, the roots, you know what I mean? The real estate has always been in, like, within me.
Yeah.
Since I was a kid, coming up from a construction family, like my dad was a drywaller. So I was around real estate all the time, you know, maybe thoughts of being an architect, engineer, I'm not smart enough. So, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I couldn't do that either. I know, yeah.
And ADHD didn't allow that.
Right,
so,
right. Yeah, yeah.
The way to that first property, buying it for a dollar, was it. It clicked. Like, I mean, I can't explain the feeling of it. It was just like eureka. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that had a big impact on you. So what was that like when you bought, just like give us an overview of buying that first property for a dollar?
So I was jacked like a mother. You know what I mean? I was all on it, man. Like, hey, I'm about to buy a property.
How old are you, right? What time frame was this? Like
2017. 20? So I would have been, what, 25?
Okay.
You know what I mean? 25. Right. My son's, right around 4 years old. At that time, like, me and his mother separated. So, like, I'm a single parent, things of that nature.
Yeah.
I was all for it. Everyone else, against it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody was against it. They just thought,
what do you think?
Too much of a risk and,
okay,
you know, too big of a project and I don't know what I'm doing and, you know.
Yeah. And, you uncharted waters, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And to me, it was everything I ever wanted, you know, like it gave me a true purpose in my life of like, wow, I'm about to bring this property from a shithole, right? You know, unfortunately it was.
Yeah, right.
Right. And, to try and bring it back to the life that it once had of multiple generations of living in that house, you know, and memories and things of that nature. So yeah, that was the pivotal moment for me when thinking about like, when did I realize real estate was going to be the path?
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been bumpy, right? You know, these ups and downs of like, I had a construction business for a short period of time during 2023. I've done other ventures, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But going into 2026, it's 100% going to be real estate.
Real estate. You're all in.
Let's go. All in. Differences is I personally am probably not going to be flipping anymore.
Okay.
I know. Look at your face. That's huge. Because that's what I'm known for.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. So what I've learned and what I've found that I enjoy out of the process of real estate is the bringing value to clients, right? To customers, right? You know what I mean? So technically finding the deal, right?
Right.
Problem solving for that client. Because at the end of the day, anytime that I bought a property or transact it for somebody else, right? You know, was for that person to sell, right? You know what I mean? Their problem, right, quote unquote, was they wanted to sell. Whether that was, you know, they needed a fast cash offer, the repairs were too much, or, you know, maybe they didn't want to deal with the transaction, you know, go through the process and everything else like that. But it was always for me to solve the problem. And that's the part I enjoy the most. That's the part that I would get excited for. You know what I mean? Seeing the, like, meeting with those people, you know, hearing their story, all these other things, to then, you know what I mean, seeing their face after it's done and saying, wow, thank you. So that, and then I, after doing over 150 flips and, you know, these projects and project managers, stuff like that, like, I'm not good at it. That's just plain and simple.
Wow.
I am not a operation guy. So I'm not, I love systems. I love structure, but it's just not my, like, I can build them. Right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like managing them. Right.
Gotcha. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And with flipping, it's project management. Like, there's logistics, like ordering, you know, material, getting the material where you need it to be, getting your guys where they need to be, you know, making sure they're hitting deadlines. And then, you know, the financial, tying the financials to it of like, okay, well, you know, now we're over budget 20% and we're out of money tomorrow. So, you know, all these other things.
Right.
And then the last part of that then is I always love to sell it, because again, now I'm on the opposite side of it of like, now, you know what I mean?
I get to crunch
the numbers again, get it up on the market, negotiate, you know, all the things that I love and I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, 2025. And here I sit, I've realized that's what I'm good at. That's what I love. So remove all other distractions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and it's crazy to say this, but I personally don't want to flip a property. What I want to do is I want to provide problem solving and value to all clients in real estate. So whether you want to list your home for top dollar, right? You know, and understand the market and have a market strategy and things of that nature, how to sell your house today, not yesterday or tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a big difference.
Right.
I want to connect my investors with that deal flow that I had created. You know, mm-hmm. I want to still utilize that trust that people trust in me to bring those cash offers. But instead of me, I'm going to have a group of investors. So it's just changing the narrative of it, but still providing that same service. It's just all, yeah. you know, from all spectrums, from listing it for top dollar, getting you a cash offer,
right,
to buying, you know, whether it's your first time home buyer, whether yeah. you're down, you know, downsizing, selling your house and you need to buy another house, or you're an investor, right? I've underwrote hundreds and hundreds of deals. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
the data, understanding like what it takes to sell a property, you know, cause that was the biggest thing is like, we could buy it, we could renovate it, but if I can't sell it, it didn't matter.
What good is it? Right. Yeah.
So going into 2026, 100% going to utilize my experience, my knowledge to bring value to clients, you know, educate them mm-hmm. and provide a seamless process for everybody involved.
And I think you've built such a reputation, right? You have this experience, you have this background, and I love that you're like, you're narrowing it down. This is my sole goal, my sole focus. Forget everything else, you know, let that go to the wayside. And I think you hit a big topic there, like first home buyers. That is, and I've said this on a previous episode, it's the biggest purchase most people do in their whole life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? First home buyers, like, I can't think of something more that you're going to pay for than your first home.
No.
Or you know, a house any in general. Home. Any home, yeah. yeah.
It's the largest asset, and that is something that, you know, now that I'm a licensed realtor in the state of PA, I am understanding the value, and I've always understood the value, but I understand like what it takes to get a transaction mm-hmm. from, you know, start to finish, right? When you represent, because before, remember, a lot of it, I was buying it.
Right.
Like something
yeah.
comes up, I'm making moves, you know, we're jumping back and forth. Hey, quick, you know, I got 2 minutes to make this, you know, decision
yeah, yeah.
or we may lose this deal or I may lose $5,000 or whatever it is.
Right.
So with clients and stuff like that, being able to instill confidence, education, right? Because as a yeah. as an agent who represents you, you are purchasing the largest transaction of your life.
It's crazy to think about, you know?
It is. Someone's and home, I think, you know? A lot of people yeah. fail to realize that that's, you know, as a realtor, we don't just, you know, slap a sign up. Well, the good ones don't, right? You know
right.
what I mean?
Yes. The ones that really care, like you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, and that yeah. are knowledgeable and understand, like, this is extremely, like, me as a realtor and as an investor, I've gone through it hundreds of times.
Mm.
You, it's your first time.
Yeah.
Right? Scary.
Shaky. Yeah. yeah.
Exactly.
Like, high blood pressure, like, nervous, so sweats, yeah.
It's my job to convey in you confidence that, you know, yeah. we're going to get this done, you're going to be okay, and this is going to be a great investment for your life. So understanding that and also conveying that information to clients, you know, that as an agent, you know, a good agent isn't just going to slap up a sign.
Yeah.
Right. They're going to have a strategy, right? There's going to, you know, cause there's a strategy that changes every day because the economy, because of the market, cause
fluctuates
the supply and demand. There's so many things that people really don't even take interest rates, you know, that don't take into, you know, consideration. So we need to be able to convey that strategy, but then also to legal representation, like, technically, yeah. we legally represent you. And being an investor, I understand what it means for risk mitigation, right? You know, liability mitigation. Your family's business owners, your business owner, yeah. like, risk is and liability is actually what literally drives business. This is,
oh, yeah.
You know, 100%. Of, like, how risky is this and how much am I exposed to it? Like, if something would happen, am I really fucked?
Yeah, right, right. Are we covered? Like,
exactly.
Yeah, what's going to happen? Yeah.
Having an agent.
You got to think worst case scenario sometimes.
Puts that yeah. veil, puts that protection. That's
protection, yeah.
Exactly.
That safeguard, yeah.
Exactly. Now yeah. you have that there to purchase or sell the largest asset of your life.
Of your
right?
life. Of your
so
life.
So that's something that I really appreciate too, because coming from an like being an investor, I understand that of like there's risk and there's liability.
Yeah.
Having someone that protects you from it is nice.
It's really nice. Yeah.
Exactly.
And what I'm taking away from that, you know, that conversation there is like, if you choose Noah and ask for Noah, like the promises that you're saying is clarity, confidence, and control.
Exactly.
That's what you're bringing to the table, you know?
Exactly.
It's that safeguard. It's having somebody knowledgeable. You're not just in it for the money. Hey, throw my sign out there. Let's sell it. I don't care what happens. It's
real answers and real results. 2026 will be 100% be undeniable results.
Yeah.
If you want to hire your best friend or your auntie's cousin or whoever, right? Because you know them or have a relationship, versus hiring someone who is a professional, experienced, has a plan, and comes to you with that.
Yeah.
It could be the difference of you being stuck with something that you don't want, or could be a liability versus having a seamless process and having confidence and getting you in the right home or getting you the right dollar amount for your house. So that's my sales pitch.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even say sales pitch. It's more so of like, that's what I offer.
Yeah.
Ask for Noah.
It's your promo. That's you. Yeah.
Results.
I love it. Yeah. 100%. Let's take a snack break. This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky. Eat, meat, repeat.
Why don't I bring you up to speed, right? We talked about a lot of like the past few years and what's gotten me to where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the present. So like I said, ask for Noah. We're going to pivot the business. It's not going to be a cash buying business anymore. It's more so going to be my branding, just because everybody knows me. Noah Starry is Ask for Noah, and Ask for Noah is Noah Starry. It's going to be education, right? You know, and it's going to be a place where you can come, right, or connect for results when it comes to your real estate transaction. So with that, then what we're going to bring to the table is, you know, with that pivot, I have to re-educate people, right? So I have a big announcement, you know, with all that, I'm going to be, you know, taking what I'm telling you to the next level for 2026. We're going to get very, very clear. So with that, to bring you up to present now, is I have some endeavors going on, right? Star World Properties is still kicking ass. You know what I mean? We still have, you know, 48 units in that rental portfolio. We have a system that operates. We provide a good product and service, because people do forget that being a landlord and renting homes out is a service, not just a product.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we hold ourselves very, you know, accountable in service. You know, we hold that very high.
Mm-hmm.
So Star Wars is kicking ass and operating. But me, myself, I have some other endeavors. So this year or last year, I had bought a 175-year-old bank, 760 Cumberland Street. It is up for sale. I had plans, and again, it goes back to pride and everything. I had plans to renovate that, convert that. I took plans to the zoning hearing board and got them approved.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you bought it like for you?
I bought it as an investment and to convert it so I can have apartments and then mixed use to have my business in there.
I see, what were you going to put in there? Okay, apartments and your business.
And businesses. So it was going to be a hub.
Nice spot. Yeah. I mean, right on Cumberland Street. The pictures you shared of the bank, like the vault there. Oh, it's like something out of the movies, you know? But yeah, talk a little bit more about
that.
So
as all business endeavors, you know what I mean, you only have wind for so long, you know?
Yeah.
And I've been holding that property. I told you I bought it last April. So those costs of holding that, you know, have been eating away at me. And there comes a decision and a time that, you know, I have a fiduciary responsibility to myself and my businesses and my family to make hard decisions. And, with that, I had, you know, talking to my partner, I have a partner with that property as well. Hey, I think let's put it up for sale. And in that, while it's up for sale, we'll continue to look for opportunities with the bank. Right. You know, but yeah, it's a cool building. I have some people interested, trying to work some things out. I know you saw the renditions of the lounge, the whiskey lounge, right? You know, I have someone who's potentially interested in doing that. It's just, again, it comes back to my skill set of underwriting and structuring the deal to make sense for the investor.
Yeah.
And that's something I enjoy and I'm good at. So I'm putting together a proposal, to raise capital for the investor.
Oh wow.
To do this, you know, I got a lot of good feedback about this idea.
Oh, I loved it.
Really?
As soon as I saw it, I'm like, dude, that's a no-brainer. That's fantastic. Like, you know, Lebanon, you need something like it's different, it's unique. You know, parking, there's parking just what right over there by
there's four parking lots within under 100 feet.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for.
To me,
yeah.
Just like every other downtown, right? If you have a service or a product that people love, they'll walk.
Oh, yeah.
They'll park and walk, man. 100%. You know what I mean? Like, you look at, Mama Juana. They get people from, all over the state, out of the state, all over the state. They don't have, you know, their relative parking, right?
Yeah.
They're parking, you know, five blocks up 72, you know, and walking down up. The street, yeah, yeah. man. Like, yeah. it comes down to, like, if you have something that somebody wants, they're going to show up.
Yeah.
And I can get, I got goosebumps saying it. I think, like, that business could change, like, downtown. Like, I think it could be
an anchor. A staple, something that's exactly. like a pillar, you know, even a pillar. Because like when you share those renditions, or I just call them AI photos because they look so good. And I think it was on Facebook. I saw them first, which I don't go on Facebook much, but I was like, wait, somebody's actually doing that? I was like, when is it open? Like, I want to go right now because that looks
I've had so many people like yourself, like text me, message me personally saying like, you open this, I'm there.
Yeah.
So that has been an endeavor. Then I had purchased a home for my parents and my grandparents. So my grandparents are, my Nan and Papa are in, their late 70s, early 80s. My parents, do a lot and help out with them. You know what I mean? Which we all, right?
Right.
That's I believe what American culture should be.
Yeah.
Or we've lost that at least. So I'm trying to stick to that and believe in that. And so I found the property because what was going to have to happen was my grandparents, my Nan and Papa's house and my mom and dad's house, like to sell both of those at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And buy a house for them all at the same time was going to be near impossible. So I just took it upon myself, well, what if I bought it? And, you know, I renovated it and sold your homes and moved you guys in. So, yeah, that's what we're currently doing. I bought that. I renovated it for them to make it comfortable and things of that nature. And they are living in there, which brought me to renovating and listing and selling my childhood home on South 3rd Street.
Yeah.
If anybody knows me, they know, you know, my stomping grounds over there on South 3rd. It hasn't hit me yet. It's definitely hit my mom. Yeah. They actually didn't even come see it in person after it was fixed up because of how emotional it is. My dad made a comment. He's like, what the hell? I want to move back in now.
That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah,
that's awesome.
Well,
as a guy that wears his emotions on his sleeves, you know, that for you,
it
that has so, to have some feeling.
Yes and no. Like, I am a type of person where I can be very, very not sentimental because of so many other things going on, right? You know, like getting my parents comfortable, getting my grandparents comfortable, you know, all these moving parts and things of that nature. The other day I did walk, like there was a something up with like the thermostat or whatever. So I had to stop in and just check it out. And it was probably it was my first time in there by myself after it was renovated.
Yeah.
Caught a quick little like, oh wow, this is like happening. So I think I'll probably walk it one more time and that's when it will
hit
me. Yeah. Cause now things are settling. You know what I mean? Like my parents, my Nan and Papa are comfortable at their house. They've been for a few months now. You know what I mean? So yeah, renovating your childhood home and then seeing it being sold and being the one doing I renovated it. I am selling it. Right. You know, it definitely chokes you up but it makes me super excited for like the next family. So crazy story is that was four generations of our family.
No shit.
No shit. Yeah. So my grandpa, which would be, you know, it's my mom's side. Cause my mom, she had step parents. Right. So, Grandpa Vinny, right. Okay. Vinny's Good Times.
Yes.
Everybody, familiar with Lebanon, right.
Yeah.
His parents. So it'd be my great grandparents bought that house and lived in there. So like my grandpa, my aunt Phil, and you know, my uncle George their family grew up there.
Yeah.
That was their childhood home, you know? And then for my parents to buy it for my great grandparents in 95, I think it was. Yeah. 95. We moved in 92 and then they officially bought it in 95. You know, you're talking four generations of my family being in that home.
Yeah.
It's two generations of Starry, three generations, because at one point I moved back home with my son.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Holy
cow.
Yeah,
very short stint, man. I'll never forget in my child, in my bedroom. It was my bed and my son's toy car bed.
Yeah. I know exactly the models. Yeah, I can picture it.
So, you know, just saying those things and realizing that of like, you know, the generations that have been through there and things all the memories that now are going to be an opportunity for the next family.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's sad. It's can't even put words into it. So yeah. We'll see. I'll have to let you know once we get through that.
I'll keep an eye on social media. Cause that's definitely a full circle. Like literally that is a full circle, but who better to sell it than you?
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it.
That makes me very happy. That truly makes me happy that not just that I get to sell my childhood home, right? You know, and see that through to the next family to create memories, but also to be the, you know, shoulders to my family.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, of like
making sure they're good.
They came to me, you know, to make these large decisions.
Trusted in you, man.
Yeah, think about that. We just talked about largest asset, like, you know, my Nan and Papal for their house, they lived there since 2005. So they were there for 20 years, right? And then, you know, my parents were there for 30 years. So, like, just think about that. Decades.
Right.
And now you're moving on. Like, you're changing. You know, you got to change your routine. You got to change, you know. You know, like, my mom and dad's been driving to that house for 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
Man.
You know.
And now it's something different. It's like you get used to seeing the same stuff, same routine. You know, we all get in the same routine, whether it's life, work.
Sucks. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love change, but I also hate it because it is a learning curve, right? You know what I mean? It is emotional, things of that nature. Yeah. So I can only imagine, you know, and I think about this as like what my parents are going through, what my grandparents are going through, you know, because different ages have different, usually as you get older, you fight change even more.
Yeah. You know? Oh, 100%. Because you're used to things.
You're not as, you know, agile as you used to be.
Yeah. It's hard to admit that sometimes, you know.
No, and it's the truth of it, but right? You know, you're not agile with your thoughts, right? You know what I mean? They're strong thoughts, they're wisdom, you know, knowledge, experience, but they take a little longer, right? You know, your body doesn't move as quickly to adapt. You know, when I was 18 in that dorm room, like 1 hour, you know, I'm at LVC, and then the next thing you know, like my brain's like, "Yep, I'm leaving."
you're done.
It's like, boom. Yeah. Now you have to, you know, as you get older, you got to consider things like, well, how's this going to affect me? How's this going to affect my day? How's it going to affect my work? You know, my mom runs her own business. So, you know, when they were moving, man, that was extremely stressful.
It's your family too, because it's more responsibility, I think, because you get older. Maybe it's not so much that you can't make those quick decisions like when you're younger, but you know there will be repercussions that will affect more than just yourself.
Consequences,
yeah.
Man. Cause and effect.
Yeah, and you want to make the right decisions because you know, you take that pride, you know, you're the coming up to being like the leader of your family, you know, as your dad, your grandparents get older, it's like, okay, now who's the next generation, you know? Yeah.
My son.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Speaking of my niece, he's getting tall real quick. I just got to shout him out.
Yeah, shout out to Elijah, who made the 8th grade boys Lebanon Cedars basketball team.
Let's go.
As a 7th grader, so you know, super proud about that. He's 5'8", 155.
Yeah.
And just to put that in perspective, I'm 5'7".
Yeah, let's go. I was gonna say he's taller than you, Dad.
He's already taller than me, man.
And he's a baller. Does he get that from you?
Yeah, so he's definitely a baller. He loves it. He's figuring things out. He really wants to get it racing.
Really? I saw that post with
Jared. Shout out to Jared Audrick. Appreciate him for spending some time with my son. I had reached out to Jared when I realized that he was in racing. Yeah. And, you know, we actually wanted to go out and see one of his races. And I wanted to give Eli that experience because, like, I don't know nothing about that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm a city kid. You know what I mean? We had bikes. We had BMX bikes and skateboards and shit, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there was no motorsports. So, shout out to Jared for spending time with my son and not just, you know, being there with him, but also he was, I have some photos, man. They spent time like actually taking notes and like studying. Oh, wow. And he was conveying a lot of knowledge to my son to say, hey, like, here's 3 points you need to go home, and this is all you focus on for now, you know, until the next.
So you actually gave him time of day. It wasn't just like, hey, quick, get a picture and I'll sign something. And
yeah, man, it meant a lot to my son, and so I appreciate that. Because Jared actually, he just won the Trans Am. You know,
did he win it?
Yeah, championship.
I've been falling a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, so and he was explaining everything like that. I guess it's right below. Like, so NASCAR is like the American, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
NBA of racing, right? Okay, you know what I mean? So there's
my mind is going redneck. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, no. Yeah, yeah. But it's like it's pure American sport, right?
It is.
Like NASCAR.
It is.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. He said there's NASCAR Beer, truck, yep. NASCAR Xfinity, and then there's a NASCAR Cup. Those are the three tiers and whatnot. And okay. Then Trans Am is right below that. So,
oh, damn.
So yeah, man, like it was just cool for him this minute, you know, and my son took it a lot. And now we were up in Lehigh, in Allentown for it. And, I have a message out to them about their league, for Elijah come next spring.
What?
Yeah. So,
let's go. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to push it. When you see obsession,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like that's what success comes from.
You got to add fuel to the fire.
Yeah, man. Get, you know, like I look at for me with real estate, I'm set. Like my fiance, she's used to it now, but like anywhere we go, if we travel, I'm looking at real estate. You know what I mean? I'm processing like numbers and crunching, like, man, if I'd buy this at this price point, man, we could do this, you know, stuff like that. So to see that in my son, it gets me excited. You know what I mean? It's like, well, yeah, I just want to invest, you know, I want to push him and give him what he deserves, you know, and give him opportunities.
That's awesome.
So yeah, shout out to Elijah, for, you know, being a good kid, straight A's in school, sports, you know, he,
let's go,
self-taught piano player, big into drums, promised him this year for Christmas, and he gets to pick it, drum set.
No way.
Yeah, full drum set.
A full?
Yeah, wow. So not everybody's excited about that.
Yeah, so, it's going to get a little loud at the house.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, that's the catch-you-up present-wise. Move in the future. You brought up, you know, legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I – talking about my family and my home, it makes me feel good. But – that's currently right now, and to talk about my son and stuff, like that's the future.
Yeah.
I personally don't typically think about legacy. It's not something that like stays in my mind. I'm more so of just, you know, it goes back to results, right? Legends become legends because of the results. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like the legacy just follows. So for me, it's just, my legacy would be for the Starry family to have an impact, you know, on the community, have the impact on people within our circle, and just provide results in any way, shape, or form, whether that's through conversation, right? You know, because results come from conversations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, transactions, community, whatever that is, man. Like I said, results is going to be the key word for the next couple of years.
There you go.
So, yeah, the future of the Starry name, I don't typically think about that a lot because I'm a dumb electrician, man. I put my head down, I go to work. Just so happen to stumble upon real estate.
Something you're real good at, yeah.
But you bringing it up made me think about it of like, I do want the Starry name to mean something, to represent something, to represent, you know, results, represent community, you know, represent loving and support.
Yeah.
Because that's what Lebanon City did for me growing up. You know, the my family, the coaches, the teachers, all those other things that created me who I am now. I want Starry to be that, you know.
Yeah.
And when you hear Starry, think of those things.
Think of those things, yeah. Right. Well, I remember when you first came on back in episode 8, you shouted out so many coaches, teachers, people that had an impact in your life. And, you know, I thought about asking that question again, but I'm like, no, he covered so much. But I want to talk about some things that I think you really hit the nail on the head there with. Well, for the listeners, just to go back to your son, Elijah, right?
Yeah.
Like, one, okay, and also Audric, Jared Audric. For listeners that don't know, star athlete here, Lebanon High School football player, went to Penn State.
Yep.
From Penn State, he went to
Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins, thank you.
He was drafted because I'm a big Dolphins fan.
That's right, you are.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Wild. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah, he went to the Dolphins. Yep. What was he, a D-end, defensive end? Or
yeah,
was
defensive
he...
end. Defensive yeah, end. And it's, man, it's fucked up, man. Dolphins, bro, we always figure out a way to diminish our talent or send him away.
Yeah.
If we would have kept him, I think he would have been a Pro Bowler. And that, I'm not just saying that because it's somebody I know, but yeah, I'll never forget. I don't know if it was a trade. I think it was just a release, and he was a free agent and got picked up by the Panthers, I believe. Carolina Panthers.
That might be it. Or was it the Jaguars in there somewhere? Or no, maybe I'm wrong. It could be Panthers. I don't know.
No, I thought regardless of it, we let him go. We pick up Ndamukong Suh, paid that dude ridiculous amount of money, and then he ended up going to the Patriots and winning the Super Bowl. Typical, man. Jay Ajayi. I don't know if you remember Jay Ajayi. You're an Eagles fan, bro. Let him go.
That's right.
He went literally that season to the Eagles. Won a Super Bowl. Like, come on, man. What are you guys doing?
But
so shout out to Jared and the stardom and stuff like that.
Because some people don't know like his history, his background, and now he's into racing.
Yep.
And it's wild that your son's getting into it. He has like a mentor, someone to look up to, someone that you can reach out to and be like, hey, like my son's really into this. But what I want to also focus on is, you mentioned like, you know, fueling your son's fire, going getting all in, supporting him. And I read somewhere, it was on social media or something, that like, when your dad dies, when your father dies, you lose the only person that wants you to be better than he was. And I'm like, man, that really hit me.
Dude, it's crazy you brought that up because I've seen that multiple times in the past few weeks, like circulating, and it's the truth. You know what I mean? I look at, again, legacy, right? I look at, you know, my father and, you know, his father, and you look back and you're like, well, the whole sole purpose of being a father and having a child is that they are better than you, you know, and that next generation is, you know, whatever it is, you know, whether it's sports or, you know, career or just character, you know?
Yeah.
That's another thing, man.
That's big. Character's big. Yeah.
So, yeah, I 100% believe that he already is better than me. He's 13 years old and he's already better than me as a man and as a person. And I'm 33, you know, this kid's, he holds himself very well. He's intelligent. He's creative. He, you know, is passionate. He's, you know, very loving, you know, very loving person.
Yeah.
You know, he definitely, when he cares.
Yeah.
Which means a lot to me.
Oh yeah. Especially in this day and age, man. A lot of people don't.
We need that in the world. He himself is already at 13. So like I get excited just thinking about like, okay, what's 14 look like? What's 15 look like?
Right,
like
he's so young, you know.
What is he going to accomplish? Regardless of what he accomplishes, I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm all for it, and I'm going to, you know, and people don't like to discuss it this way, but I'm a very, like, I have to. Like earlier, we were talking about like time and it being associated with dollars, right?
Yes, talk like about that.
My son's an investment. He is, true. For himself, for me, for my fiance, for his mother, for his brothers, for his family. Like he is an investment. And, you know, I think it's a good thing to discuss, talk about it that way, right? Because in school and things of that nature, they already lack, you know, to educate on financial literacy, but then they have, it's non-existent to discuss and actually tie out someone's life to a dollar, right? Because immediately it's frowned upon, or, you know, you're not looking at them as human or anything like that. But the truth is, it's reality, and money is just a tool.
Yeah.
Like, yes, 100%. It's no different than a hammer or a pencil or whatever it is.
Right.
And, you know, I made a post a while back of like, money enhances you and your character. If you're a good person, you're going to be a better person.
Right.
If you're a bad person, you're going to be a worse person, you know?
Yeah.
If you're frugal, you're going to continue to be frugal. If you are not frugal, you're going to be even worse, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, investing and saying that about my son of like, it costs money.
Yeah.
And understanding that, you know, having a child costs, it's a big cost to your life, and they don't teach these things, and understanding that. And that's literally why I work so hard. And, you know, I need the undeniable results, because then the bigger the problems I solve and the more problems I solve, the more money I make, which then in turn, I invest more into him,
which
makes him better.
Yeah. It's that legacy growth, you know, that legacy continues. Yeah.
It compounds, you know, each generation. Like I look back at like, you know, my dad and then my grandpa, you know, my pawpaw and stuff, and my other grandparents and stuff like that. Of like, you know, I will probably be technically I will be the first millionaire.
Yeah.
Out of your
family.
You know, and I'm not saying my family didn't do well. You know, like overall, you know, we were okay and things of that nature. And I have other family members within that, but like truthfully, like I'm going to be the first millionaire. And then to put that in perspective, like my son is going to probably 10 times that.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And that'll come from what he's learned from you and the help that you were able to provide him. But a lot of it's going to come from his own hustle, his own ambitions, exactly. You know? And that's
what I really want to fuel.
Yeah.
Is like, I'm tough on him as a father, because I know how cruel the world is. Right.
Dude, it's tough.
You eat what you kill. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you got to go out every day and earn it. There is no one is, unfortunately, as much as we want to act like this isn't how the world works and reality is, but no one cares. No one's going to hand you anything. You're right. Right.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah, there's no superhero coming to save you.
No, man.
You are the superhero. No,
exactly. You are. It's not a comic book.
Yeah, it's not a comic book. Yeah.
Go out and it's not hard. It's, you know, we make it hard, right? You just, it's simple. Wake up in the morning, do your routine, go to school, get good grades, right?
Yeah.
Have good relationships. Do your, you know, go to sports, right?
Yeah.
Have extra click, you know, enjoy some creativity in your life, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It's not hard, but, you know, teaching him those things of like, you got to do it.
Right.
Ain't nobody doing it for you.
Yeah, that's it.
You want to race? So right now we don't have an American in F1 racing. And I only know that because of Jared telling me.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. I had no idea.
And honestly, I never really thought of Americans in F1. You know, that's a big year. Europe, man.
That's big
know?
In Europe, yeah.
Eli is obsessed with F1.
Nice, like okay.
He's always wanted to be a mechanical engineer, but now it's becoming more and more because of the understanding of that.
Yeah.
It's way above me. But he said the other day in the truck, he's like, it's not if, and, or, but it's, I'm going to be an American F1 driver.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Dude.
And that like,
that's powerful,
yeah, dude, I got goosebumps.
I'm getting goosebumps. Yeah, man. I'm about to be like, let's go get your son on here. What are we doing?
So
yeah, no, that's it. That's what you want to see. Cause it's that drive, especially at such a young age, like if that's what he wants to do. He will start to make everything, all his time, all he does.
Obsession.
Thank you. Yep.
Obsession is
the focus on that. Yeah,
people say again, you know, obsession's a bad thing. It's not once it's directed to something positive.
100%. Right? You know, 100% agree.
Kobe Bryant,
obsessed.
Yeah, man,
obsessed.
Like Michael Jordan, obsessed. Tiger Woods, obsessed. Tom Brady, obsessed. Muhammad Ali, obsessed. Yeah, like
the greats, right?
Yeah, man,
they were obsessed. And
that's the one thing that I feel like they all had in common was just obsession.
Yeah.
There was no other thing else in their life.
Nothing else.
You know?
Right. That's their sole focus. Yeah. For younger people listening, or really anybody that's out there listening, doesn't matter the age, but they might be thinking about their own pivot. What advice do you have for them on starting something meaningful and starting something that's rooted in their identity?
What advice would I give to the younger self, I guess.
Of
pivoting to find something that has meaning, obsession.
Yeah.
My advice to them would be, you know, you need to just work through things, right? You know, try things out. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Mistakes is what literally tells you what you don't want to do, right? Yeah. And you don't know those things until you do them.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't like ice cream until you tried ice cream, you know? So I'm a big believer that, you know, mistakes and failure have 100% developed that vision and direction and what sharpens it every day. I make mistakes. I tell Eli all the time, like just the other morning, I'm like, I fuck up probably a good 100 times a day.
Yeah.
Just, and that's throughout, I only brush my teeth for 30 seconds.
Could be something small. Yeah, right. You know, something little.
Instead
of
the 2 minutes. Or yeah. I misplace my keys or, you know, anything. But what that does is that sharpens me then, you know?
Yeah.
So being a failure is a necessity in becoming whatever, whoever you want to be. So fail forward, fail with positivity, fail with a smile on your face. And I promise you, by the end of the journey, you will be, you know, the sharpest tool in the shed. So that is my advice to, truthfully, a younger me back, yeah, you know, maybe when I was 12, 13, my son's age.
Yeah.
Of just fail, man. And fail, 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 and I promise you, you will succeed.
Yeah, you'll get to that success even quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Noah, man, this has been powerful. I think conversations like this are more important. People need to have them. You know, it's getting out there, being vulnerable, sharing experiences, sharing life experiences. That way others can learn. So if you're good, I'm going to wrap it up, man.
Yeah, man, let's wrap it up.
All right, sweet. So, Noah, again, thank you for coming on the show, talking about, you know, identity, taking that leap of faith and pivoting. Even though it might seem hard, do it. You know, what do you have to lose? Talk about entrepreneurship and then, you know, your life. You've walked all three of those things. Thank you for sharing that journey. For the listeners, check the show notes for links to ask for Noah. Real answers, real results. Noah, thank you for joining me.
Hey, man, I appreciate you having me on again. Yeah, you know, I'd like to come back 3 years later.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get it on. And you're welcome back all the time, brother.
Thanks, brother.
Awesome, man. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors. A&M Pizza, authentic Italian food made with the finest quality ingredients. Proudly serving the Lebanon and Lancaster area since 1980. Stop by their Campbelltown location today. You'll be happy you did. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.